We have a number of very important goals to accomplish together in this first lesson. Our overall goal, of course, is to get you your all-important first job in radio. To begin your education in the broadcasting business, the written text accompanying this recorded lesson will teach you how radio stations operate and what will be expected of you in your first job as an announcer. But before you can get your first job, your voice must be trained to a professional level. As you will see, this involves more than merely strengthening your voice and increasing its resonance. In this first lesson, we will teach you how to avoid provincialisms in your speech, how to correct nasality and other voice faults, and how to develop a new approach toward enunciation of words. In this lesson, we will give you your first practice in delivering commercial messages. We will teach you how to announce from written scripts. We will discuss the most common mistakes in English and how to avoid them. And we will give you the first of several intensive lessons in the correct pronunciations of words which are most often mispronounced and which you will often find in the process of announcing. Let's begin. But before we put your voice to work, do your ah and exercises to relax your voice.
Crowds of girls drift across the stage. Girls soft and bright. Girls fast and funny. Girls with dreamy looks and pouty looks. Girls with languid smiles and impudent grins. Girls with unruly bangs and neat velvety chignons. Girls with eyes slanted a little, and girls with eyes slanted a lot. Amid all the girls, one stands out in twilight softness.
The first city of the future will be built in Sweden. It will be called Järfälla, have about 100 residents, and be accessible by subway or highway from Stockholm, just 12 miles away. No gasoline-powered vehicle will be allowed here. Noiseless electric minibuses moving at a soothing 20 miles per hour will pass within 150 yards of everyone's house, carrying passengers and baggage for free.
Oakshaws is a private membership, prisoner of war resort refuge, now being carefully developed on picturesque north shore of Lake Nacimiento. Lakeside lots for sale with low down payments and no neighbors are excellent long-term finance.
Yet, dear friends, the man of violence and superior force was not a war lover. A war lover like General George S. Patton, whom Monsignor Ike understood, liked, tolerated, and used badly, is a killer. And Ike could not be a killer because he had been raised, as his mother told a biographer, to choose good.
Yeah, yeah. If you have no goggles, turn away. We know that we've got to have those instruments. They're our only chance. Dear friends, God in his wisdom put microbes on the earth to give us head colds and to protect us from Martians.
Dear, dear friends. Excuse me, dear friend.
Beg your pardon, dear friend.
No, go ahead.
No, dear friend, you go ahead.
Oh, no. No, dear friend, let me step aside.
No, no, dear, dear friend. Go ahead.
Ah, my dear friend, I know you've had bad times and
troubles.
Good
and troubles, friend,
yes,
and troubles too.
Yes, worried brows.
Furrowed and worn with care.
Furrowed hips.
Furrowed thighs.
Thighs covered with the grooves of care.
Ah, 'tis indeed a sad state.
Oh, indeed. California is its name, friend.
And here we are.
Yes, I came all the way from Pepperton to be in the show tonight. And I'm
Pepperton?
It's wonderful to see you boys working so hard.
Gonna take a dunk with us tonight, huh?
Oh, Peter. Is he Peter?
You can't say Peter over the air.
Uh-oh.
Call me Dick.
Call him Doc.
Dick, you're so funny.
No, can't say Dick over the air.
No, you can't say Dick. Okay. Oh.
Well, let's stop screwing around.
Please, can't say that word on the air.
Would you hand me that?
Would you supply the correct word for this sentence?
Certainly. Okay.
All right. Oscar does some funny.
What? I don't think that's...
Thumps.
Some funny thumps?
Yes, yes.
I didn't understand that.
He smells peanuts.
Oh, he smells peanuts.
That's right.
He
right,
crazy,
right,
he right. smell peanuts.
He sure. crazy. Very good, very crazy, good, Mr.
Yeah. Yanamoto.
B. Yanamoto. Yanamoto.
Irene Yanamoto.
All right, here's one for you, Mr. Punter.
Okay.
Jack, blank, Oscar for doing tricks.
Jack... Oh, I can't say that on the radio.
Oh, you're right.
Spanked.
Spanked?
Ow! Oh!
That was the government alternative. It was just sent in on the heart line, Larry.
Dear friends, your free volume contains these five books. Great Lion of God by Taylor Godwell. Bless the Beasts and Children by Sergeant Louis Illuminato. Kim, A Gift from Vietnam by Frank W. Chinaman. And I Chose Prison by James V. Bennett.
Hey, when you said Kim, Mr. Armin,
yes.
The echo in my life went out. Oh, no. It was a very strange thing. I just wonder if that was an incantation or anything.
No,
like
that, wasn't... I was just jiving.
Just jiving.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean nothing by it.
It had no...
No, not just because I sometimes say things backwards doesn't... mean anything.
He's doing it again.
He's doing it again. There's no occult significance.
There's no occult.
It's happening.
Anything occult is so out of sight.
Yeah.
Occulted. That's a bit of an academic joke. that you can't even see it, so it doesn't exist.
That's right.
Who am I? I'm Dr. IQ.
That's who you are.
That's right.
Yes, 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 indeed. Sure is a lot of fun having you
IQ
on the show.
IQ Eisenhower.
Right. They call me.
Eisenhower.
Yeah, that was...
Do
I was
you
reading
dare.
From my life story there.
Do you dare to IQ Eisenhower? You can't, even saying that, you can't really say that over the air. You can't talk in a yang way about a man on the radio.
Well, now, wait a minute. Here's a man we could talk about. Excuse me. Joe considers himself quite a competent corn surgeon. He isn't. He trims with a razor blade, unsterile, and uses acid corn removers.
Oh my God.
Both of which can lead not only to bad trips, but to infection.
Oh, my God.
What he should do is apply a moleskin plaster to ease immediate pain.
Absolutely, I would say.
And then get shoes that fit.
Well,
dear friends,
wait.
If you don't have shoes that don't fit...
No, if you do have shoes...
Well, if you do have shoes that do fit...
I have an interesting little article here that's in Science Renew Report about that says that the fact that most people in the United States have at least one pair of shoes that are too tight for them, I'm not trying to make a value judgment yet,
no.
that are too tight for them, is responsible for a third of their sexual fantasies.
Shoes?
That's very interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know what tight shoes has to do with my sexual fantasy.
Very simple. It's just a matter of the fact that there are various electrical outlet points at the bottom of the foot, which when squeezed by an overtight shoe will send the chi or the life force into strange.
I wear women's shoes. You want to fight about it?
No, I don't want to fight about it. I want to give you your opportunity as an individual.
I don't feel that they give me any kind of sexual fantasy. I mean, I just wear women's shoes. You want to fight about it?
I think that, well, you're wearing a pair of red patent leather 4-inch heels, and I think that it does...
That's right.
Pays
so
hop.
What?
Your center of balance is off by 4 inches, man. You might just as well be...
Nonsense! Stand up from the bar here!
That poor man.
That's really sad, you know. People who can't hold their liquor shouldn't come to these bars.
He would have hurt his head, but he had his hard hat on.
That's true.
Dave, this is a good time for us to take a few minutes of time out here and mention to the folks that the program's coming to them from Steel Hats. The sun never sets on a steel hat.
That's true. Steel Hat, Nebraska is where all of these fine goods are made.
Yes, indeed.
And we would suggest that if you are ever in or near Steel Hat, a fine little town of 500...
It's been bought by the Gay Liberation Front, I might say.
Steel Hat?
Steel Hat?
Yeah.
It's been.
It's a company town now.
Yeah, there's more of them than there are of them, and so they bought it from them.
Well, that's sad. Well, if you're in Steel Hat and can get with it, you know, why, come by and see the Steel Hat plant, because the folks down there will be love to...
And don't miss the demonstration, the Steel Hat demonstration.
Either. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you get to wear a steel hat, and they hit you with a sledgehammer. And...
Oh, right on the head?
Yeah. Boom!
Oh, that's hard on the ears.
Do that to me, will you?
Okay.
Boom! Oh, tickles.
Do you know that...
You're not even wearing a steel hat.
No, I'm not. I forgot my steel hat. Oh, you dummy. Yeah, oh, boy, I'm not so dumb. I'm Dr. IQ.
Oh, boy.
Ask me a question.
Go ahead, ask him.
All right, I have one.
Yeah.
Who can stand but cannot walk? He is standing in our yard. When the sun comes out, he will go away.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good mm-hmm. question. Okay.
Comes from Little Billy.
Yeah, okay, let's see. Mortimer Mole. Yeah, it's my old friend Mortimer Mole, isn't it? It's him in the back. No?
This man is ridiculous.
No, well, it's my show, you guys.
Yeah, all right. Now, there's
you
an guys, example.
You announcers can't pick on me. It's my show.
Mistake.
I'm
you used a colloquialism.
I'm supposed to come out looking like this
smart
guy.
Look, I'm your teacher. I'm supposed to teach you how to get into radio.
I got a PhD.
You got a BHD?
I got a BHD.
I got some STP, but we can't use it during work.
No,
you can't even talk about it on the air,
please. Oh, I'm sorry, sorry.
The voice of your conscience speaking.
Look, if you're going to get through this radio course, you can't use colloquialisms, like you said, like my friend, Mr. Mole. You can't talk about your friends over the radio. It's a national media. Let me show you another way.
Call him up on the phone if you want to talk.
Yeah, if you want to get... on, get him on the phone and confront him, but don't talk about him in a familiar way.
Yeah, okay. What are you talking about?
Well, here you are at the Columbia Broadcasting School.
Oh, yeah, but I
not to be affiliated with either Columbia Broadcasting
I've already got a job
on
network
School.
Television.
Oh, you're on network television?
Yeah,
what do you play?
I'm an announcer.
You are?
Yeah.
You went to Famous Speaker School already then, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh. I founded Famous Speaker School, yeah.
Where'd you find it?
I found it. I can't answer that on the radio.
That's right, because you don't know and they won't let you if you did.
Well, okay, now look, bunions come when my big toe folds under the second toe.
There you go.
This in males is most a hereditary deformity. Over the phone, it's worse.
Who are you?
But I'm Dr. IQ.
No, you're not.
Wait a minute.
You're Joe's foot.
Oh, yeah, I guess I am.
Now, that's what the whole confusion is about here.
Doc, do I have the schizophrenes?
You're just a foot.
A talking invisible foot.
You must accept
I'm just another
fact.
Patient. Don't listen Life's
to me. Always
I'm crazy.
Me around
don't say knuckles.
Bit.
You are suffering from schizophrenia.
Not
you are
me.
Suffering from schizophrenia.
Not me. Just don't say knuckles. That's all.
What? Don't say knuckles?
I told you not to say that.
Oh, no.
Gives me sexual fantasies.
You can't make me knuckle under.
Yeah. I bought some moccasins and I totally lost all of my sexual fantasies, man. I took my tight shoes off and all of a sudden I started digging on women as, you know, as like sexual objects.
They're shorter, too.
Instead of as liberated commissars, right?
Right.
I went and took my kid out of the 24-day schnifter all-day care rat race and bullpen, right?
Yeah.
We went down, we watched the Yankees. Take your kid to a baseball game, by the way.
Yeah.
Now that the season's over. Because the place is empty and you can read and relate to them.
Right, yeah.
You could chase each other around in
your
steel hat.
Just like in avant-garde movies and have people shooting you, right? Jason Robards in the stands yelling, Joey! Joey! Yeah.
Here's the story of a child with bunions. Joey. Jerry Lewis directs this insane episode of It Takes a Doctor to Help a Policeman.
Right. In
tonight
a lawyer's
at 9
world.
On 7.
Right. Their hearts were with the establishment, but their cars were in the public parking lot. Curb front shysters. Driving their 1970 gold Plymouths, they roar around the Mark Taper Forum looking for action. Hey!
Waiting for their camera crew.
Right, $1.50 to park in there, that's fascism. We're the curb front heisters.
The only folks who will not want it after they hear it are the spiritually cold and heartlessly clammy. Takes the kinks out of everyday business cares and smooths and makes straight perplexing social curves.
You couldn't have felt worse with no sleep at all. Yes, morning finds you limp as a rag and blue as indigo. How you dread to face another day. Achy, dull, yes, only half alive. You feel and act like an old, old man. Yet, strangely enough, the cause of your rundown condition is simplicity itself. Yes, friends, simplicity. And to take care of your simplicity problems, to restore you to full vigor and health, take Athnesia with Pluto Water.
Good afternoon, friends. I'm Charles Blank from the United States Census Bureau. Are you the janitor of this building?
Yes, I'm Mr. Harris, the janitor.
Mr. Harris, is apartment 3 vacant, or is someone living there?
What business is it of yours, Mr. Blank?
I see. I have to fill a questionnaire for the apartment, even though no one is living there. Can you answer a few questions?
I'm not talking to anybody.
Is apartment 3 intended for year-round or seasonal occupancy?
You nosy bastard. Take your farm and get out of here.
Is it for rent or for sale?
You're not getting anything out of me. I don't like your look.
Would you stick to that? How many living quarters, occupied and vacant, are at this address?
Hey, are you a stuck record or something? Don't you understand? I'm not giving you any of these questions to answer them.
Does apartment 3 have complete kitchen facilities?
Hey, Janet?
Complete kitchen facilities are a sink with piped water, a range or cook stove, and a refrigerator. Is it for that unit only?
Or are there any other houses?
How many rooms are in apartment 3? Do not count bathrooms, porches, balconies, foyer halls, or
bathrooms. Hey, you giving my friend Harry any trouble?
Is there hot and cold piped water in this building?
Let's throw him out.
Does apartment 3 have a flush toilet?
Yes, and you're going right down it. Come on, Renee!
For apartment 3 only, or is it you?
No, you're not!
Yes, millions of men and women are in the same lamentable plight today. And not one in 10 can guess the cause. That's the insidious thing about amnesia. It drags you down, slows your mind, and robs you of your joys and pleasures. Yet you hardly realize that you're slipping.
You're right, Roy.
Isn't that true?
What? The eye of light is looking right through you. God bless you.
You know, the folks at French Lick Springs Hotel in French Lick, Indiana, that's America's greatest
French Lick
health retort.
French Lick.
The home of Pluto Water. It's noticed.
If you can call that a home, Ray, the light's shining, go.
That's
go.
True, that's true, that's true. You know, we have two excellent golf courses down there.
Three.
Splendid. No, only two.
Ah, but the eye of light sees three, Ray. It sees three. Wonderful, wonderful golf course.
I see.
Go ahead. Go ahead. The power's coming up through the table.
Splendid, splendid riding facilities.
You're weird, Pastor.
Ride. Ride on. I'm on you. I'm with you. Ride.
And lots of outdoor amusements.
Yes.
Are provided.
Yes, but God's looking down on everything you do outdoors, friend.
That's
God's
true.
Got his eye on your eye, so watch out and keep going, Charlie.
Carry an umbrella.
Decide right now to turn the tables on old man Gloom, huh?
Turn him upside down.
Take Pluto water every morning for 10 mornings.
By golly, yeah.
And see a new world in 10 days.
See two new worlds,
two
dear
new
friend.
Worlds.
You're going to need to.
Down, Pluto, down.
Larry? Well, by golly, God said...
Look, Pluto's making more water.
Huh? Excuse me. Yes, that's okay, St. John. And God said, this is when I was with God in Miami, he said, Harry, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Do you know what subdue means?
Is it like sublet?
Hey, Harry, is that guy down there asking you questions again?
No, dear friends, janitors of all the lonely houses in the world. I know you've had your bad times. And I know you've had your good times doing things you didn't understand.
God bless you, Pastor.
But things are changing, friends. The eye of God is looking down upon you right now.
Who asked you, Pastor?
Look him back in the eye, dear friends.
I can't see.
Either can God, dear friends, because love and radio is blind. Don't blink, dear friends.
My radio's on the blink,
dear
friend. God, I love your eyes, Father.
I, just one eye, the eye of love, spelled I, the letter I, without the letter... What could we do, dear friends?
And remember, friends, it's been brought to you today by snifters, humorous napkins, hot trays, cassette coasters, and bun warmers, drop earrings, finger scarves, gavels, and sash buckles, shredded cellophane and parchment scraps, squeeze toys, mechanical toys, blow-up women and extra parts, more toys.
A $20 gold piece says ain't nothing I can't do. Well, I can make a dress out of a feed bag and make a man out of you, cause I'm a let me tell you again.
We interrupt this pogrom for this important ooze flash. The letter has bestolen by the radicals in our society. Government officials say, do not panic. We will find those responsible and bring them to their just deserts, or by aim, is it the shifter?
I was horrified to find the letter U lying there under an umlaut. I have inquired around, and all of the better informed umlaut people tell me that Hitler, nay Schickelgruber, had many liabilities that the possession of an umlaut was not among them. Miss Emmons, if indeed it was her doing, may have discovered that the original Austrian Schickelgrubers stuck an umlaut over the U, figuring that someday one of their offspring would surely become Chancellor of Germany. The umlauted U might give just plain Schickelgruber enough tone to compensate for the ugly cacophony of the word. After all, an umlaut is nothing more than a horizontal colon, and perhaps it may be a symbol.
That's what Eisenhower died of, a horizontal colon.
Oh, the poor man. He had an umlaut, too, I believe. He had one on his bicep.
He had an umlaut on his bicep? Yeah. Well, two little numbers, right? Now, nowadays, they just stamp you with your biracial code. You're either on or off.
His name meant steelworker, see? His name meant steelworker, you see?
You don't like
this? This is my little cousin, Bobby Smart.
Hi.
Well, geez, you got the kind of speech that makes me feel you have a very repressed childhood.
Oh, no. I just like to make sure I'm understood. You understand?
He's got the schizophrenes.
He does?
Yeah. No.
What kind of a household does he come from?
A hostel?
No. What's a household?
It's not hostel. Hostel. I misunderstood you.
Well, if you've enjoyed talking to these kids as much as I know you have,
I haven't enjoyed
Uncle
it
Pete,
at all, Bill.
And you'll be interested to know in how I discipline them.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I got to think this boy has a serious problem.
Well, I went to the Associated Mothers Club, and Mrs. North gave us some very good disciplinary advice down there. And one of the things that she told us to do that I've been doing with these boys
for quite some time now. She's been doing it with me for quite some time.
That's right.
She's been doing it with me.
Just
get your fingers off me.
Tommy. Now, what I do is to lay an inviting length of electric cord.
Get that boy's hand up off the table, please.
All right, this kid's hand here.
Yeah.
No, that's, that's better. Usually what I do is lay an inviting length of electric cord on the rug and bring the children in one by one.
Yeah.
And when the first one goes for the cord, I yell no at him and shake him by the back of the neck.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Also, I'll let my kids sometimes...
Would you get him some towels and get that chair on my chair? He's how old is he?
He's a...
What he did.
Oh, I spilled coffee. I'm sorry, Mommy. I'm very sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've just witnessed an option 16 power play among the Firesign Theater.
That's true.
Pete Bergman, one of the oldest members of the group, he's 45.
Yeah.
He just knocked over a cup of coffee on the scripts for a piece the boys are going to do a little later on in the show.
Oh, that's terrible.
Nice to watch, though.
But, dear friends...
Well, that sounds like an acting exercise.
Isn't it an acting exercise from God, though, dear friends?
All
dear friends,
troubles?
I'm Sergeant Louis Illuminato, president of this church, and field commander and watch marshal of the entire district. Let's take a few minutes to review just what happened in slow motion.
Let's run that back, Larry.
Let's run that back. Could we take off the organ, please?
Run that back.
Okay, now you'll watch here. Now watch here. Here's Bergman.
There it goes.
Okay,
there's
now we're running it in slow motion. Now watch here. Now here goes Bergman. Now he reaches for something. I think he's reaching for his nose.
I think I'd like to...
Stop the And there you see, he knocks over the cup.
Beautiful. That's, Macho 2.
That's the image right there. That's the image.
But dear friends, why are there no towels here to clean up the mess?
Think a stone, make a stone, Reverend.
I'm so stoned, I thought someone came in here with the towels.
Reverend Ray has been materializing all morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. He made me a pair of shoes.
Yes, he did. And he made me a very good proposition this morning, a proposition. Yes, a proposition of laughter, dear friends.
Yes, dear friends. God, it's funny, you know?
Wet, too.
A funny thing happened to me this morning on the way to the Inquisition.
Oh, what? I might ask you.
I saw there was a man flayed and beaten outside on the public square.
What?
And I walked right up to the man and I said, dear friends, why are you here? And he said to me, he said, Pastor, you know, it's a funny thing. For many years I've been up on this cross, and I thought, you know, golly, Pastor, I thought I'd never get down, and I've begun to get discouraged.
No.
I thought I'd never return again.
Sounds like a doubter to me, Ray.
By golly, it's true. And I've seen a lot of these fellas in my time and my work in the prisons.
Yep.
With the dope addicts.
Yep.
I seen these before, and I said to him, fella, Bob, who was his name, lumber executive, I said, Bob, don't you think that God knows your suffering?
God knows, he knows.
Yeah, and you know what he said to me? He said, no, he said, I am God. He said, I'm Sergeant Louis Illuminato, the head of the church and president of the district.
A self-realized man.
Yeah, so I licked his boots at that point. Yeah.
And, how'd they taste?
Good, great. Which is why I wanted to gather you together here this morning to talk to you about how these boots taste.
Oh, friends, humility tastes better, you know, than being conceited and not having a well-rounded personality.
Yeah, lick a boot.
Lick a boot, man.
And boot. You'll find that, by golly, it'll make a difference in your life. I know it did to mine.
You'll find a different color underneath.
Yeah, right, man. You never know. The polish of life comes off. The taste remains the same, but the tongue can never
tongue
be told
shoe
a lie.
Can never be changed. Told a Remember lie, that. Right. And turn on any rock and roll radio station in any city and listen closely, dear friends. A language in the song lyrics combines the slang of prostitutes, drug addicts, con artists, and pool hustlers with the jargon of beatniks. As the language catches on, the people who understand it are called hip. Hey, and youths who adapt the jargon for their own use become known as hippies or hipsters.
That's heavy, man. Really heavy. Where'd you find that, man?
Ladies and gentlemen, this news was first infiltrated onto the American public by Granger Graphics, a division of the John Birch Society, in 1965.
That's heavy, man. Those words, that's really heavy, man. It's really far around.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
Time again for Mutton Smut and the Mutton Smut Show. The endless story of small town rivalries and bigoted big town backbiting is told through the crackling homilies and outrageous half-truths of those two boring busybodies, Mutton Smut. Still hold up there in their infamous old corner store there on the old corner, holding out against the world and their own better judgment, cataloging endless lists of useless objects and plotting ways to voice them on a naive and unsuspecting public. The legions of just plain folks who comprise the cowed and frightened population of Rabbit's Hole Haven, nestled near the government project in Cooperstown, expressway close to any town, USSA.
That's right, Factor. Keen running a half-pound package digestive. 15 packages. Get your nuts, 60 packages. Dark chocolate.
But...
Wait a minute, Smut. Wait, Mutt. I'm in the middle of an important... Oh, well, what the hell? What is it, Mutt? What?
I'll put the shipment of ice cream next to the irradiated pipe end.
What?
Well, whoever did it, there's an ice cream river back here.
Are you trying to be funny, Mutt?
Where's those form-fitting, run-resistant hip boots we got? And I'm going to have to wade in there and repack it somehow. Thank goodness the radiation don't change the color of the ice cream.
Well, maybe we can save that order. But, Mutt?
What?
Did we get in that special shipment of flashcards from Denmark this morning?
You betcha, Big Beaver. Some topless teamsters dumped them out of an unmarked truck in a plain brown box about 6 this morning.
6 o'clock?
No, 6 teamsters. You should have seen them. 12 pairs.
Oh. Don't make no difference. We got to send them back, but
what? What are you talking about? I've been walking back there for hours getting the display all set up.
Nope. Sorry, Mutt. They got to go back. They go back.
Well, soften my hat. Yeah. They were going to be the main come-on in our new giveaway plan.
Well, I know that. It ain't nothing we can do about it. Now the government's gone and changed its mind again, you know.
Oh, well, what do you mean, Smut?
Well, now, the government man slipped the news to me last night at the drive-in. I went there, a little Judy Fenster in the truck to see bedspreads and ring of bright fevers.
sergeant, Leon Bing. Oh. When he pulls up alongside and that baggy little Honda drives around, he gives me the news.
Now, hold on just a corn second minute. You told me when I placed that order that the chief commissioner on No-No said it wouldn't do no harm to sell pictures of animals doing it, long as they was cute little animals. And I ordered them.
Now, it so happens that the ding-dong chief changed his mind and hired another commission to come up with some other findings, and now we just ain't allowed to sell them, and that's all there is.
Well, burn my busters.
Well, burn them if you want to. Look here.
What? Look there!
Oh, yes. Here's some fancy wrapping paper.
Oh.
Yeah, I want you to go back there. Yeah, there's some. Yeah, you've got a big handful of it, don't you? All right, you gift wrap that there, Freight. You make it look real pretty and put it back on the hay rick.
Well, what for, Spuddy? We supposed to send it back to Dane?
Well, no, it ain't exactly that much. You see, the government man's gonna come and he's gonna pick it up.
What?
Seems like they want to confiscate the stuff personal-like till the chief makes up.
I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to set out the half ton of melted ice cream, too. See if he can confiscate this. Give me that wrapping paper.
Okay. All right. I just don't. Mutton Smut. Phone don't work here. Mutton Smut here.
Hello, Bob.
Oh, howdy. Howdy, Judy. It's Miss Finster, Matt.
Who cares?
Bob. Mike, could you put Smut on the phone, please?
Well, this is Smut, Miss Spencer. Hold on, I'll get him, you know.
Smut? She wants to talk to you again.
Well, I got nothing to say to her. Just listen a second there, Miss Spencer. I'll go get him now, okay?
Go get him what?
Hold on to that there. Come on, Smut, I'll be a sport. Read my lines for a while. I'll go back and get one of those tricks, okay?
Okay, but this is the last time.
All right.
And you better get into a pair of those hip boots and use a snorkel. It ain't easy to gift wrap melted ice cream.
I'll go down to Miss Lando House.
Hello? Miss Fenster?
Hello, Smut. Oh, thank goodness, it's you.
It's not, Miss Fenster.
Oh, Smut, don't play games with me now, please. I gotta talk to you serious about my daughter, Judy. I'm so upset.
Yeah.
I'm calling from the payphone in the bathroom.
Oh, you're using Judy's phone, huh?
Shh. I don't want Daddy Fenster to hear no, Smut.
Oh, you dumb woman. He can't hear me. I'm talking from the store.
Please, Smut, please keep your voice down.
Oh, okay. But you're all confused, Miss Fenster. You really ought to see a doctor.
Oh, thanks, Smut. I knew you'd understand.
Just a second, Miss Fenster. Smut!
What? Smut, you're getting too intimate for me. I can't stand it. And besides, she don't want to talk to me. She want to talk to you. I can't stand it no more.
Listen, I'm up here to my waist in irradiated ice cream, Mud. I can't come to the phone now.
Well, then I'm going to hang right up on her there.
Well, who cares? Now, listen, Miss Fenster.
What?
Now, listen.
What?
I just can't... Oh, what?
Sounds like there's somebody at the door.
Oh, good heavens. Just a minute, Miss Fenster. Hold on, will you?
Oh, howdy there, Miss Mud and Smut.
Howdy.
I come to pick up them credit cards, dog tags, and the armored troop carrier for the Thieves Picnic on Saturday.
Oh, that's well, Top 8. You're here just in time. Listen now, could you just hold on to this here phone here for a few minutes here? Just put this part up to your ear. Okay, I'll go in the back room, rev up the motor for you.
Sure, Mud and Smut. Maybe I can do some businesses for you. Give somebody the business.
Yeah, you do whatever you want.
Smut? Smut, are you still there?
Hello, who that there?
Oh, it's Duty, Smut, it's Duty. I'm still here.
Yeah, you are, ain't you?
Sure.
Amazing. Miss Duty, I remembers you. I used to pull your teeth when I was working at the college.
What?
I dated your daughter a few times, too. White pretty, a white pretty girl you got there. White pretty.
Oh, thank you very much, Smut. Listen, I know, but that's what I'm calling you about.
Oh, yeah? Ain't that something? She think I'm Martha Smut. Yuck.
Oh, Mutt, listen, Judy's run away from home again, and she didn't leave no phone number on the wall this time.
What for she done do a thing like that for?
What? Oh, well, how you talk. She been acting real upset like ever since we put her hamsters to sleep.
What'd you do that for?
Well, Daddy Fenster wanted to get her a walking catfish as a surprise for Easter. And he was afeard that there wouldn't be near enough room in the garage. What with his mutant chinchillas and Judy's little creatures, too. You know, they multiply like Chinese, you know, and they're voracious eaters.
The hamsters?
No, the walking catfish.
Oh, well, the hamsters, they the same way.
Yes, and the chinchillas, too.
Yeah, everybody.
You see, that's the whole problem to us, Mutt.
Yeah.
You see, Daddy Fenster thought that it'd do best all around if we just put the little, dear little things to sleep.
Uh-huh.
So other night after the moon went down, he snuck out of his cage there and went into the garage. And he sung lullabies to a couple of them for hours until they was all slumbering. Well, when they were fast asleep, he scooped them up and brought them into the kitchen and packed him in milk, put him in that new garbage stomper we got from Red Big Sam, the pollution center.
Mac, great gracious me, that's a long line. You people certainly do keep up with the time.
I just read him, Ma. I just read him. Not to mention the Jones.
The Jones?
Oh, yeah, well, I told you not to mention
him. Yeah.
Well, anyway, to make a short story long, Judy found out when she threw out the white trash this morning. She found out. Then she upped again, and then she cleaned that up, and then she up and ran away.
Oh, my bank cork. Well, what do you want me to do about it?
Well, I thought maybe Smudge, since such a friend of the family and always taking Judy at the moving pictures, and all, I thought you might put an announcement up there on the bullet board at your store with a description and everything.
Oh, well, that don't seem necessary to me, Miss Spencer. I mean, everybody know what Judy looked like. Oh, the fellas, that is.
No, Smudge, no, you don't understand. It ain't about Judy.
It ain't?
No, Daddy Spencer don't want to sell his catfish now. Furthermore, we got a gay garage sale this weekend.
A gay garage sale? My.
Oh, yes, we're moving the chinchillas into Judy's room and selling the gay garage. Going to take a vacation with the prophet.
Which prophet?
Well, you know, Mustafa. But he ain't no witch prophet. He's straight.
Well, I swan. Damn.
And Smut?
What?
Now that she's finally gone.
What?
Well, you know, we have what were the tents put up in the backyard for, and it's empty now, like most tents. I thought maybe if you wanted to come over and cope with us, well, you know, you could. We could sew curtains and everything up and fix you up real nice.
Listen here, Miss Spencer. That sounds like a right interesting idea, but I got to get into the back room right now and start a revolution.
What?
Let me think about it, and I call you right back, okay?
Well, thank you, Smart. I knew you'd understand.
Yeah, sure, you bet. Okay, Whitey, I'll talk to you real soon.
Well, great bless you, Smart.
Yeah, okay, so long, right on. Oh, me, oh my. Master Martin, Smart?
What?
It's safe now. She offered the phone.
Off the face?
No, offered the phone.
Oh, well, if ever she wants this time.
Oh, I couldn't begin to tell you. You better just listen to the show when it's rebroadcast on Sunday.
Well, I better do that. Tarface, here's your charger plate, dog tags, and the keys to the half track, and a cardboard can of blank cork for you. Compliments to Mutton Smart.
Well, thank you, Mutton Smart, and to show you my platitudes, I was going to spray the word soul, brother, all over the front of your store.
Thank you very much.
Well, bye-bye. I got to get going. What's that white stuff dripping all over off your boots there?
Oh, that's just a little ice cream.
Ice cream,
we had an accident back there.
Ice cream, eh? Looks good enough to lick. Yucky. Well, so long, you all. I see you all down to the barbecue. Barricade's the leader tonight.
Yeah. What?
Smart?
What?
You know something?
Know what?
Are you saying no what or no what, Smut?
No what? No what? What are you talking about,
Mutt? Stop trying to confuse me, Smut. I ain't one of your customers, you know.
I know. For goodness sake, Mutt, what is it now?
Simply this.
What, Mutt? What?
That
what?
Tarface pork.
Yeah?
I don't trust him.
Yes, and the beat goes on. So listen again next week to the Mutton Smut Show, brought to you by Reflex Industries, etc., a subdivision of United Incongruities Incorporated and the Bureau of Past Mistakes. Listen again this week when we hear Smut say...
How did all this burnt cork get all over this telephone?
On the Mutt and Smut Show!
Financial note.
Yeah.
Could we stop the music, please?
Right,
let's get serious for a minute here. From Dr. Firesign's accounting firm for the Fireside Theater, here's the latest note from the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers.
Uh-huh.
Austin, Philip, third quarterly distribution, 1970.
Yeah.
Total deductions, $2.63. Net distribution, $0,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 such a high amount of money given to Mr. Austin Fnipt. No surveyed performances.
No surveyed performances? Well, if they can't watch you, they can't pay you.
Yeah, that's right.
No watchy, no pay.
Well, you know,
can I have a tin smacker, please?
Sure.
Come in. Come in.
No, no, the carpenters are working on the new building.
Oh, the new building, right. Yeah, ASCAP doesn't pay for comic performances.
Who's that?
You know?
Yeah, I'm the carpenter.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
huh?
You thought I was the guy from the other show, didn't you?
I thought you were an astronaut.
No, yeah, I am an astronaut too, you know.
Well,
yeah. I'm also a car salesman, and I'm on Julia twice a week.
Oh,
you are?
Yeah.
What's it like to be on Julia? I never made it, as you know, with an integrated poison.
It's what you call plastic.
Plastic?
Yeah. So,
that's what we used to blow up the Union Life building yesterday.
Certainly was.
Right.
I'm sure having a good time being Vice President of the United States.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah. My name's Spiral Agnew.
How do you do?
How do you do?
My name
how do you
is John Wilberforce Boogie.
What
did you
do?
Did you guys...
What do I do? I'm the head of the Bureau of Hot Air Vent.
Wonderful.
Do you guys know that you can get high by eating plastic bombs?
Oh, great. Are those the ones made out of detergent?
No. The plastic that they use to blow up things. Plastique, which is a favorite terrorist tool.
Get you high, man?
All the dummies.
Sticks to your teeth.
Yeah, it gets you high.
I bet you does.
Gets you high if it blows up in your hand, too.
Pain gets you high, man.
Yeah, pain gets you. Let you know you're alive. Read La Condition Humaine by Malraux.
Went to college, huh?
Right now?
You got it right here?
I can do it. I can do it. I mean, never doubt.
Not you.
But
I've got some Ibsen here.
It'd be hard, you know.
Sure would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I wrote
What's next?
Oh, listen, I thought I'd do a little social consciousness. Jupiter looked at from both sides, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the spirit of social consciousness invades dear friends for just a quick second. I wrote in my first propane-operated car today, by the way.
Yeah.
And yeah, right. Gas-operated car, it works just fine. And
it
only pollutes the air 25%.
Oh, you mean it's not El Perfecto, eh? It's
perfection?
Not,
what are you, some
like
sort of a Navajo?
A walk down to the neighborhood store.
What are you, some sort of a realized man? I'm 75% clean, man, when
I'm
drive.
I'm Dr. IQ.
Dr. IQ?
Yeah.
You remind me.
I've got the multiple identity.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I keep switching. Sometimes you hear me do other voices, you know. You know that Negro that was here?
No.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, that was me.
I mean, I don't know him personally. For example, he didn't show me his wrist.
No.
Hi, this is Bing Crosby, and this is a little bit of advice on how to handle teenagers. Teenagers are positively people, so try to remember they have a lot of problems, mainly parents. When their jive talks give you the heebie-jeebies and their rootin' tootin' clothes, goose talking, make you despair for civilization, better bear up and shut up, because they'll grow up and get over with it, just as you and I.
Right on!
Scratch most little teenagers, and you'll find a solid citizen.
Get your fingernails off of me, Daddy-O!
You know, when they sound off with ideas for improving the world we made, well, maybe us parents could learn something if we'd stop snooting the kids.
Maybe you parents could get some good nookie, man, if you stayed close to the young kids. Right, I mean, I think that youth sex is perhaps the answer for most 45 and 50-year-old people.
And here they come now, down on the field. It's youth.
The youth sex teams
it's
are
wonderful
both out
to see
there.
About there, isn't it, Charlie?
They're beautiful, Larry. Never seen 20 marching legs as trim.
Oh, there's the armored guard coming by right now. Now, that's really beautiful.
There's the four-year-olds. The four-year-olds are coming to the field, and men all over the stadium are raising, ladies and gentlemen, right now, standing up in a show of appreciation.
That's
beautiful
really
little girls.
The flag is coming by.
Yes, yes.
Here it comes.
Yes,
here it comes.
Yes.
And there's nothing on the back of it.
There's nothing on the back of it.
That's a big surprise.
No.
Very nice.
It's all white on the back, ladies and gentlemen, so the game will go on today without code two rules. You know, that, you know
I
that
suppose
means,
that's what it means. Well, the clock is getting pretty close.
Kids are going to be able to watch this one today.
9:01. Oh, the kids are out there in force now. The Exposition Park is full of them.
There's Major Hortabagy's little black eagles.
That's right.
400
wonderful.
Perfectly trained 7-year-olds, by the way. All of Hungarian background.
Ah, look at that. Here comes the dog corps. Isn't that wonderful? The canine patrol is
dog
coming
in. Dog upon dog upon dog upon dog.
Bob, if I may interrupt here for a minute, that's from the Dog and Dentists Council of East Los Angeles. These dogs, and all of them have appeared in the films.
Well, that's just fine. I see the orchestra's on the other end of the field now.
Oh, look.
Here come the mules.
The La Cucaracha Mule Corps.
That's right.
And here comes their spiritual leader, Darlene. Darlene, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, fantastic.
That mule has a wanger. Oh, boy.
Get off the table, Mabel. The quarter's for the
beer.
Well, that was the Pledge of Allegiance.
Got another one down there.
Yes,
that was Phil. He's gone.
He comes like a diamond merchant, they say.
Paranoia.
Oh, uh-oh.
Paranoia.
Oh, no.
Turn and run if you want to, but face this fact. If they don't get you now, more of them are likely to later. Quick shots to the eyes and quick shots to the groins have proven somewhat effective in cases where you choose to make a stand. Numerous, nebulous, skilled in street warfare, these particular enemies. Keep in training. Run, literally, from insanity. Leave it behind you for as long as you can. But be prepared. You must, I suppose, accept this fact. They're after you.
Who knows why they're outblowing their chauffeur again.
Even if they don't know it themselves. And in the clinches, in the ultimate rumble, under the freeway overpass, by the cyclone fence, without a cop in sight, give them hell. You can't avoid it. Cry, scream, and tear your hair. And after they've cut your hands off at the wrists, throw elbows furtively, but with gusto.
Right, right.
We want to hear Monsieur Le Pierre.
This is a little tale. It is à vous. Ma très chien from Pierre. It's a tale of a chien ordinaire, Andalusian variety with a light creme sauce in the midst of the king's return. We watched from the balcony in crepe and waited as patiently as patriots for the son lumière of the first volley. And when it finally came, it was from the right court, and where else? Really, or actually really not. This is surely not the time to lie or fly, but why not fly to a friendly place and bring back something round and fresh for your friends? Put a piece of peach in your pocket and sit next to a fresh woman in need of nothing and a little son. A little son never hurt anyone, except once Judy by mistake, and a lot of wonderful people go as me. Mr. Pierre sure hits the spot, don't he?
By golly, that's nice. That gets a 6.5 with the fireside audience, Pete.
Yeah, well, that
a swell Monsieur Pierre story.
That section of the show is brought to you by Captain Chink's Insane Wonton Dough and Lord Kitchener's Kitchen Soup, I Thought I'd Never Get Out brand. It's guaranteed by Mrs. Louise Hurdy-Gurdy, an Italian immigrant.
Now, here's a young fella from the... you're just from right around here, right?
Yeah, I wrote this Declaration of Principles, and
he's the champion of his school.
I want to have it published in my school paper, but of course they took it away from us.
They took the school paper away from
you?
Why?
Yeah, I'd like to read it to you on the air, though, if I could. Well, just because, you know...
They wanted to wipe them.
The democratic process affords a solution for the problems of minorities of opinion. That's what I represent.
You do.
He who questions the established order, be it political, economic, or social, is a menace only when society is conceived of as rigid and unchanging, where change can be effected only through illegal agitation which culminates in violence. Democracy, however, tolerates dissent. In the ideal, at least.
Right on.
The action of the majority is a compromise which meets in part the views and desires of varying groups.
Yeah.
Nor is it the decision of the majority considered final and beyond question. The minority reserves the right to attempt through speech, press, and assembly to persuade the majority to modify or reverse its policy. Where democracy prevails, minorities of opinion are not severed from the social organism but remain visible and active members. Nor are they driven to the periphery of common living. They occupy a place at the center of social life, because a minority is a majority in embryo. That's democracy, folks.
What does that mean?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Savat. 4-year-old Peter Savat, the youngest member of Congress. Well.
Silence! Obey me. It is the last wish of a dying man. Raise my bed. Get that child out of it. There, in the foot which I have hollowed out, you will find a knife. Take it. When thrown into the waves, you will cut open the sack in which you are wrapped and swim to shore. You will then be free, and the treasures of Monte Crisco will be yours. I give them to you. Death is upon me. I'm off.
Well. Could we have some of that organ music?
Yes, we're almost there.
You want to use my organ?
Yes, that was me speaking.
Would you put Dr. IQ's organ on, please? I'd like to read a little piece, please. Could you all put your ears on the radio and put your prayer handkerchiefs in your pocket?
We're going to have to bring in the birds. The organ won't play without the birds.
Okay, you can bring in the birds. All right. Give the folks the birds.
Good to hear Earl's voice on the show again.
Yeah,
I know the birds are still together.
Right. Our engineer, the live Earl Jive, has been with us since show one.
Yeah. Since 10 o'clock this morning.
Since 10 o'clock on the same corner.
Too. I know.
Right. Abusing himself of every cliverage.
Okay, Shuggy.
Let it rip. Let it rip. Ladies and gentlemen,
A short...
Get it on!
A short historical piece brought to you by the Educated Educational People Society. A short play involving Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and a Mason. Thomas Jefferson speaks first to Benjamin Franklin.
Hey, let's invite over a bunch of immigrants and make cards.
Scene two. In the next scene, Ben Franklin is seen walking the streets in Philadelphia, pondering what his famous contemporary has said. Ben Franklin thinks,
I wonder what Tom, the old friend, was talking about.
That's fart, Ben, but let's move on. A mason appears, wearing a business suit and a leather apron. He crosses his hands in front of the apron. Franklin stops and crosses his fart in front of his suit, where his apron would be. Ben speaks.
More of your insane power games, eh?
The mason does a complicated hand movement in front of the apron, then slaps Ben across the face with both hands really hard. Ben checks his nose for a break or a bleed. He takes a trowel out of his suit, and running the edge along his finger, he thrusts the trowel under the mason's nose.
You're a dog, Illuminati, and a pain to meet on the streets of this basically clean town.
The mason remains silent, having no lines, not in his face either. Ben faces him off as the shadows begin to change their perspective, and the cobblestones lose their morning warmth.
Now my feet are getting too clawed to change my mind.
That's cold, Ben.
Cold to change my mind.
Ben notices that his hand is bleeding viciously from the trowel cut on his finger.
Damn. I say, dammy, sir, I'm wounded. Clear, sir, and a good cut.
The mason is asleep on his feet and motions in an unconscious way to his rival.
Well, sir, how many drops till I'm dead, sir? Must I become the color of the sunset, sir? Demi, sir. You bleed me white, sir. Demi, I say. And see and die, I die, oh God.
The mason's face is ajar, like a baby's. In the way his cheeks turn up like a protective baby button and his eyes the color of sky blue sky and oatmeal. There is a ring pacifier at his lip, which Ben's best friend pulls, and the mason's best friend speaks.
I wanted the woods and the Indians to sleep with me, but I was afraid of the cold and made them sleep outside, so I never felt the touch of a warm, naked Indian or in a cold, naked forest. I was lost and had only the steel I had to cut me forward. I am a little boy speaking like a man in a suit that squeezes on the parts that make me forget that I'm a little boy and I am not moving as I would like to be. I am standing still and the heavens are wheeling about me and the atmosphere and the moisture polarize each other so the colors are always changing and my sense of time is so acute that I can hear it. I will be free.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been Dear Friends of an Hour of a Day. This is the Fireside Theater wishing you well in the great race. Remember not to compete.